जय राधा माधव सुजाबिहारी कपि जाना वाला गिरिवरधारी जय राधा माधव कपि जाना वाला बागेरे वादाधारी यशोरा नंदना व्रज जनारंजना यशोर नंदना व्रज जनारंजना यमुना चिरावन चारी यमुना चिरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कपि जाना वाला बागेरे वादाधारी यशोरा नंदना व्रज जनारंजना यशोर नंदना व्रज जनारंजना यमुना चिरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कपि जाना वाला बागेरे वादाधारी यशोरा नंदना व्रज जनारंजना यशोर नंदना व्रज जनारंजना यमुना चिरावन चारी जय राधा माधव सुजाबिहारी कपि जाना वाला बागेरे वादाधारी हरे कृष्णा So as Keshava Prabhu mentioned, we're all very shocked this week to hear of the passing of Madhavi Balanini, wife of Chivakram Chebrolu. Both these devotees were very close to our temple and to many devotees in the temple here. Although this world is mrityuloka, and death is all around us, it can come at any time. I'm shocked also to hear the death of this very little baby that just was born. But we're shocked Because we're not meant for this world. That's where the shock comes from. We're eternal beings. We're not meant to meet with death. It's artificial. Yet we're so much absorbed in the ignorance of thinking that we're this body, that when the eventual demise of this body comes, we're shocked and surprised. Madhavi Balanini was a very generous, kind and devoted lady. She lived in Ocala. Both her and her husband Trivikram were pharmacists in Ocala. And they led a very, very simple yet devotional life. Their life had to be simple in a sense because he did the night shift, she did the day shift in pharmacy. They worked for different pharmaceutical companies, but they were on different shifts, one day and one night. Indeed, she was on her way to work when she met with an accident. But their simple life, in their simple life, although they could have lived quite opulently, as they were both full-time pharmacists, making good salary, they lived a simple life, and what they did with the opulence that Krishna provided them was to help the temple. The influence of that family is all around us, from the time we drive into the gate. It's not the gate. The gate is a gift of Advaita Acharya Prabhu and family. But the fencing that goes down both sides was donated completely by this family. Later this hour, we're going to be looking up at the screen up here. This is also donated by this family. If you take a walk over to the Echo Village, they donated for that project. The gazebo, Tulsi gazebo, also donated by this family. Their kindness knew no bounds. And as I said, when they had to come to the temple, they traveled from Ocala to come. But they were regularly here. You mentioned the Tulsi gazebo there. Actually, that was Madhavi's, one of her favorite places when she came here. She used to sit there for 1 or 2 hours and chant Hare Krishna every time she would come to visit the temple here. The last time this outfit is also sponsored by me. Apparently, what I understand from Mother Mukhya is that Madhavi was particularly concerned about the deities and deity service, supporting that. She last visited here on Janmashtami just about a week ago. Who can imagine? Who would think? Who would have thought? A young woman, she's 39 years old, sort of in the prime of her life, successful, and then a few days later, she's gone. This is the nature of this world, and maybe she got the better of it than all of us. We went to her home the other evening upon hearing this news, and we offered them Hare Krishna kirtan to her husband and to Madhavi's brothers who were gathered there. And we saw how they lived in their house. Pushkar's paintings were occupying practically every inch of the wall space. They lived in a Krishna conscious home. She left that home, and within a few minutes of leaving that sanctuary, the deities there, she left this world, bound for another place. But as it said in the Bhagavad Gita, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam chajatyante kalevam tam tami vaita kunteya sadatta bhava bhagavatam. The consciousness you're in at the time of death, the atmosphere that you create with your consciousness, is reflected where you live, how you live. So she left that, her home, that was extremely Krishna conscious, and a few minutes later she left this world. So of course we can't say, were we to say definitely where she went, but we know that her path was auspicious, despite circumstances of her departure from this world. Those material considerations don't affect the spiritual reality that one lives with their life and is reflected in their consciousness. So she's gone to a better destination. Obviously, it's very hard for Trivikram Prabhu. Keshava mentioned he's going to India. The family requested that her remains be brought back to India. So he was going to India to meet the family. So if he's gone, it may be difficult for us to communicate with him, but I think each and every one of us, if we have the opportunity to offer our shoulder to cry on, offer a few kind words, certainly he would appreciate it. Madhavi is survived by her parents, Balineni Sambashiva Rao, and his mother Sita, as well as her uncle Venkateswara Lu, and brothers. They're from Andhra Pradesh. The family's from Andhra Pradesh. She first, just a few facts to end this. She first came to the United States in 2002 after completing her studies in pharmacy. She married Trivikram in the year 2004, and she worked as a pharmacist in Ocala since 2007. I read the newspaper report there, and there were people commenting. You can comment on everything these days. So people commented on the story, and they were saying what a wonderful person she was and how pleased they were to interact with her when they came to the pharmacy. Many people wrote like that. So when Trivikram comes back, hopefully we'll have a memorial service, and I know some of you particularly wanted to offer some words of thanks and glorification for Madhavi. Hopefully you'll have an opportunity at that time. So, Hare Krishna. From that kind of emotional subject to another emotional subject that I wanted to speak on for a few minutes today. And I'm going to ask the help of Kabir Prabhu. We're going to sing one bhajan. But let me just introduce it to you. Were you able to get that? As you know, this is the 50th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's journey on the Jaladutta and founding ISKCON in 1966 in the Lower East Side of New York. And so his journey was a very eventful one. And today, September 13th, 2015, is the 50th anniversary of a very significant day, moment on his journey. It's the day when he composed this Bengali poem that describes the confidential experiences and realization he had at that time about his journey and about his relationship with Lord Sri Krishna. Is there a name to this bhajan other than prayers to the lotus feet of Krishna? Anybody know? It's different. Vrindavan Bhajan was written when he was leaving his family. Anyway, this bhajan, Prayers to the Lotus Feet of Krishna, was composed by Srila Prabhupada on board the ship Jaladutta, September 13th, 1965. And so we're gonna kind of sing this and kind of hear it. What we have written up on the board up here is the Bengali and the English. Because it's a rather long prayer, I'm going to ask Prabir Prabhu to sing it. He'll just sing it through one verse at a time. And if you want to sing along with him, we won't do it responsively. If you want to sing along with him, you can do that following the Bengali up here. Or the English is right next to it, so you can read the English in that way, getting some understanding of the words will be available to you. So, let me just read it first so that we can just be absorbed in the sound, because it's one interesting thing about this bhajan is that it's written in Bengali. Prabhupada is expressing himself in Bengali here. But if you read the Jaladutta diary, it's all in English. So we have these two things going on, English and the Bengali. It's interesting why he wrote the diary in English. Who is he writing it for? Why was he writing a diary in English? Who knew if he ever would make it to America? Who knew if he would ever have any followers, anybody that could read English that would be concerned about him and read it? Who knew those things? Yet, he knew these things, obviously. His faith guided him in these things, and he wrote in English in his diary so we could know of his trials. But he chose Bengali to write these prayers so that he could express himself fully. I think Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who's mentioned in this bhajan, said that in the future people will learn Bengali just to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because reading it in the Bengali, you can really get a deep impression of the teachings, method, and bhava that is there in the Bengali work of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So I'm going to read the English, and you can follow along when we start when Prabhu starts singing the bhajan. But I just want to get this in the atmosphere so we can understand what we're doing. I emphatically say to you, O brothers, You will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is very dear to Lord Gauranga, the son of Mother Sachi, is unparalleled in his service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. He is that great saintly spiritual master who bestows intense devotion to Krishna at different places throughout the world. By his strong desire, the holy name of Lord Gauranga will spread throughout all the countries of the Western world, in all the cities, towns, and villages on the earth, from all the oceans, seas, rivers, and streams. Everyone will chant the holy name of Krishna. As the vast mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conquers all directions, a flood of transcendental ecstasy will certainly cover the land. When all the sinful, miserable living entities become happy, the Vaishnava's desire is then fulfilled. Although my Guru Maharaj ordered me to accomplish this mission, I am not worthy or fit to do it. I am very fallen and insignificant. Therefore, O Lord, now I am begging for your mercy so that I may become worthy, for you are the wisest and most experienced of all. If you bestow your power by serving the spiritual master, one attains the absolute truth. One's life becomes successful. If that service is obtained, then one becomes happy and gets your association due to good fortune. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? O Lord, you are my eternal companion. Forgetting you, I have suffered the kicks of my birth after birth. If today the chance to meet you occurs again, then I will surely be able to rejoin you. My dear friend, in your company, I will experience great joy once again. In the early morning, I will wander about the cowherd pastures and fields, running and frolicking in many forests of Raja. I will roll on the ground in spiritual ecstasy. Oh, when will that day be mine? Today, that remembrance of you came to me in a very nice way. Because I have a great longing, I called to you. I am your eternal servant, and therefore I desire your association so much. O Lord, except for you, there is no other means of success. So you want to lead us? Don't you need a microphone?
Krishna tab punya habe bha e punya koribe jabe radha rani khushi habe Dhruvati boli to mata Dhruvati boli to mata Sri Siddhanta Sarasati Sochi Suta Priyavati Krishna Sevai Jara Tullana সেই সে মহান্ত গুরু জগতের মধ্যে উরু কৃষ্ণ ভক্তি ধ্যেয় ঠাই থা তার ইচ্ছা বলবান পাশ্চাত্যের ঠান ঠান হয় যাতে গৌরাঙ্গের না পৃথিবীতে নগরাদি আসমুদ্র নদ নদী সকলে লয় কৃষ্ণ না তাহলে আনন্দ হয় তবে হয় দিব্য জয় চৈতন্যের কৃপা অতিশয় মায়া দুষ্ট যত দুঃখী জগতে সবাই সুখী বৈষ্ণবের ইচ্ছা পূর্ণ হ, সে কার্য যে করিবারে আজ্ঞা যদি দিলে মোরে, যোগ্য নাহি অতি দীনহীন, তাই সে তোমার কৃপা জাগিতেছে অনুরূপা, আজি তুমি সবার প্রবীণ। তোমার সে শক্তি পেলে গুরু সেবা বস্তু মিলে, জীবন সার্থক যদি হ, সেই সে সেবা পেলে তাহলে সুখী হলে, তব সঙ্গ ভাগ্যেতে মিল। এবং জনং নিপতিতং প্রববাহি কূপে, কামাভিকাম মনুজ প্রপতং প্রসঙ্গা, কৃত্ত আত্মসাত সুরসিনা ভগবান গৃহীত, সোহম কথনু বিসৃজে তব বৃত্ত সেবা, তুমি মোর চির সাথী ভুলিয়া মায়ার লাথি, খাইয়াছি জন্ম জন্মান্তরে, আজি পুনঃ এ সুযোগ যদি হয় যোগাযোগ, তবে পারি তুমি মিলিবারে। তোমার মিলনে ভাই আবার সে সুখ পাই, গোচারণে গুড়ি দিন ভো, কত বনে ছুটা ছুটি বনে খাই লুটা পুটি, সেই দিন কবে হবে মো, আজি সে সুবিধানে তোমার চরণ ভেল, বড় আশা ডাকিলাম তা, আমি তব নিত্য দাস তাই মোর এত আর, তুমি বিনা অন্য গতি নাই। হরে কৃষ্ণ রে কৃষ্ণ কৃষ্ণ কৃষ্ণ, হরে 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 রাম হরে রাম রাম রাম, হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ। জয় প্রভুপাদ 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 শিল প্রভুপাদ,
thank you Prabhu Prabhu for that nice bhajan. So Prabhupada is praying like this, and what are the circumstances under which this prayer was written? I want to read to you his journal entry for Monday, September 13th, 1965. Today is the 32nd day of our journey from Calcutta. After midnight yesterday, the lurching decreased and I felt relief. In the morning also, I could not take my breakfast properly. Then I cooked bhati khichdi. It appeared to be delicious and I was able to take some food. Today I have disclosed my mind to my companion, Lord Sri Krishna. There is a Bengali poem made by me today in this connection. At about 11, there was a little lurching. The captain tells that they never had such a calmness of the Atlantic. I said it was Lord Krishna's mercy. His wife asked me to come back again with them so that they might have again a calm Atlantic Ocean. If Atlantic would have shown its usual face, perhaps I would have died. But Lord Krishna has taken charge of the ship. Obviously, this is Prabhupada's poem. He's expressing his emotions under these circumstances as described in his diary. And poems or songs are meant to evoke emotions in the part of the listener, the reader. And so this poem evokes some emotions and some thoughts in me that I'd like to share with you today. They're my own, but they are memories of Srila Prabhupada. It seems to me that this poem marks a turning point in Prabhupada's journey to America. Journal entries to this point have focused on, of course, the heart attacks he suffered earlier, his books loading on and stops in ports like Colombo and Cochin, passing through Suez Canal into the Mediterranean Sea, past points, Port Said in Egypt, and out into the Atlantic and passing the Azore Islands. But now, the focus changes. The focus of Prabhupada's journey, which is nearly complete, he landed in Boston on the 18th of September. This is the 13th of September. So the goal, that goal was in sight. Previously there was a question, if we're having this rough time in the Arabian Sea, what will happen when we get to the Atlantic, where it's always very rough? He questions in his diary entry, if it had shown a Joseph, perhaps I would have died. But those thoughts of not surviving the boat voyage, somehow or another not reaching New York to carry out the mission, have now moved to the background. And the focus is on the opportunity that lies ahead. Of course, that was the goal, all the point, it was to get to America and to follow the order of a spiritual master, but some question had been there, some difficulty had been there, some attention was given to the daily struggles. But now that's changed. And Prabhupada is looking forward. In a very few days, he'll have reached his goal of landing in America. Can you imagine how it would feel? Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave him the order so many years ago. He spent a lifetime in preparation. He went through so much to get the ticket, and now he's a few miles away in a steamship. He will land there. He will reach America. He will be given this opportunity to do what his spiritual master asks of him. So the focus shifts with this prayer from the journey back to the mission. How will he accomplish the mission that's been given to him? And he starts off by saying, nothing is going to happen without the mercy of Srimati Radharani. I emphatically say to you, O brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. That would be the success of his mission, pleasing Srimati Radharani. But how is that done? How will one be successful? How will one ensure that Srimati Radharani is pleased. Well, Prabhupada shows us the way clearly, and that is serving the order of one's spiritual master. He immediately invokes the presence of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the great mission that he gave Srila Prabhupada. Of course, we accepted Srila Prabhupada's mission. He came here to save us. But he accepts it that it's Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission, that he had the fortune to be able to enact. He says that it was his strong desire, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's strong desire, that the names of Lord Gauranga be spread all over the Western world. Perhaps that's why he wrote his diary in English, because he was focusing on the Western world. He left behind one world and now was approaching another, where English language would be his medium. And he says that all cities, towns, and villages on the earth, from all the oceans, seas, and rivers, everyone will chant the holy name of Krishna. Such vision, such faith he had. He was alone. Remember, he wasn't going to be greeted at the airport as we used to greet Prabhupada at the airport. Hundreds of devotees chanting and dancing. There was no one scheduled to meet him at all, except maybe an agent to put him on a bus to take him to middle America, out in the middle of Pennsylvania someplace. But his vision was based on the desire of his spiritual master to spread the holy name of Lord Gauranga throughout all the countries of the Western world. But then he questions himself, am I capable of doing this? What is my ability to be able to carry out this order? Will I come all this way and be a failure? What is the key to my being successful? Does anybody recall from the poem what he says is the key to his being successful? Yes.
When by the mercy of Krishna he gets the service of his spiritual master.
Although my Guru Maharaj ordered me to accomplish this mission, I am not worthy to do it. I am very fallen and insignificant. Therefore, Lord, now I am begging for your mercies so that I may become worthy, for you are the wisest and most experienced of all. If you bestow your power by serving the spiritual master, one attains the absolute truth. One's life becomes successful. That's how Prabhupada defined success as he approached the shores of America. How he could serve his spiritual master. How he could please him. So Prabhupada humbled himself before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then after quoting Srimad Bhagavatam, he revealed his heart in such a surrendered state of mind. O Lord Krishna, you are my eternal companion. Forgetting you, I have suffered the kicks of Maya birth after birth. If today the chance to meet you occurs again, then I will surely be able to rejoin you. And in the last verse here, he says, today that remembrance of you came to me in a very nice way. Because I have a great longing, I call to you. I'm your eternal servant, and therefore I desire your association so much. O Lord Krishna, except for you, there is no other means of success. So he started out talking about success would only be achieved if Srimati Radharani is pleased. And he ends the poem by desiring the association of Lord Krishna strongly and gives us the understanding that except for Krishna, there's no other way to define success. Just by trying. Just by endeavoring. That's all that Srila Prabhupada did. He received the order of his spiritual master, and he never stopped endeavoring to try to fulfill his order. And he told us many times that was the secret of his success. I simply tried to follow the order of my spiritual master. It's right there in front of us. Srila Prabhupada gave us so many similar instructions. If we just try to fulfill those orders, then all success will be there. The mission is still open. It's still open, and it's there for each and every one of us to embrace in our own lives. That's one thing about this journey Srila Prabhupada went through. It's one challenge after another. The health challenges, the rough sea challenges, the fact that he was in the 32nd day of a sea voyage. Has anybody been on a sea voyage for how many days? Half a day and he got seasick. It was terrible. Wanted to die from it. 32 days at this point, and the journey is still not over. Such determination Srila Prabhupada had, and he showed. And as I mentioned here, at least my view of this is that he was turning from that number of days at sea to the time when he would be in the land of America and what he had to accomplish during his stay there, why he was coming. So as we go through this year, the 50th anniversary, there'll be one 50th anniversary celebration after another of this, of this, of this, so many things. We should watch these things. We should read this Jaladutta diary every day. We should read about how Prabhupada, when he was at 22nd Avenue, he recorded, if this expenditure costs such and such cents. He wrote in his diary like that. I spent today 50 cents doing this. We waste 50 cents so easily, but Prabhupada was recording it very carefully. For who? Who's going to check his books? We're meant to check his books. Not a farthing should be misspent, he told us. We're meant to take that example. So we have the opportunity, 150th anniversary after another, after another, after another. I think the next one is on the 18th. Is that Friday? When is that, Friday? The 18th is the next one. That's when he wrote the prayer at Boston Harbor. Another famous instruction by Srila Prabhupada. So get yourself absorbed right now. In Houston, they're having a big 50th anniversary kickoff for the celebrations around North America. It's there this weekend. I think next weekend is in Boston. There's a big celebration to celebrate Prabhupada's arrival in Boston Harbor. And as I say, one after another, these things will come to next year. Let's remake our lives. Prabhupada remade his life. He was 70 years old. He remade his life. Let's remake our lives. I don't think there's hardly anyone 70 here. Well, less than Prabhupada was at that age. He remade his life. You're over 70, Prabhu. Ishan Prabhu. I don't know if you know Ishan Prabhu. You know this Balaram Madanga? He's the one right here. You know this. He's the one. Made it. You remade your mridanga, at least we can remake our lives. Dedicating in service to Srila Prabhupada. Re-energizing for the 50th, and let's see if we can make it to the next 50. Let's see. I'm sure someone here will make it to the next 50. But we should all want to make it because we have this service. We don't know what will happen next life. Will we be deprived of the service of our spiritual master? It's a question. But now we have it. Let's take full advantage. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Anyone have any comments or a question they'd like to ask? Yes, Advaita Charya Prabhu.
Thank you very much for starting the centennial celebration.
Thank you for starting the centennial celebration. On a perfect note.
How you have touched the heart. If we want to know who A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami is, we have to go back to Jalduta diary.
Yes.
And you have started His Divine Grace's own handwriting. No assurance for future. Nothing. And yet, great assurance. And Sesha Prabhu, one thing I would also like to add, that the time, broader perspective of 1965, where His Divine Grace is coming on a sea ship at a great risk of His life. World War II had ended about 15 years ago. America was heading for another Korean War. Great devastation had happened. Please join me today, 50 years later. Whatever He did, the magic of Krishna consciousness. This world is a lot more peaceful. This world is a lot more happy. This world does not have any war going on. This is all because He put His life on the line. I thank you very much, Sesha Prabhu, for His Leela.
Anything else anyone has to add? Otherwise, we'll take prasadam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.